Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 199. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Mikael Kaplan.
Kaplinski. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. You can find this show at Lost in America Pod also on Instagram, also lostinamericapod.com. We have a YouTube show. If you're watching us right now on YouTube, download our podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, watch us on YouTube. We like to double our views that way. Do all of it, everybody. Kaplan, also, this show is not brought to you by sponsors. We don't have sponsors. We don't want sponsors. We have the people. We have the people of the world paying us $5 a week. That adds up to enough money so we can keep the Zoom going on this show. We can keep the lights on. Kaplan, tell more about our Patreon show.
Well, first of all, you just said $5 a week, and I'm sure they said I'm in, but it's actually $5 a month.
You're right.
So it's a bargain. You're getting three episodes extra a week of us talking about our lives in our bunkers in quarantine, because we're still bunkered up here. We're following the rules. My kids going to school.
If you want to know about the New York City school system and the ins and outs of why Kaplan's kids are maybe going to school, maybe not going to school. If you want to know about the new Karen living in Cobble Hill who keeps calling the cops on me every 2 days when we walk outside and three of us sit outside and try to watch a movie, listen to our Patreon show, patreon.com/lostinamerica. Kaplan, on the podcast today, we have the comedian from Moscow, Russia, Oleg Denisov, coming up very soon. But let's start. We're talking to him today. They just had an election in Russia. Do you know that, Kaplan?
I didn't even realize. No, that's how much I'm following it. Did you until we decided to talk about this? Because to me, I just thought they stopped having elections in Russia. I thought they just decided Putin. If you're going to run against Putin, you're probably going to fall out of a window because you don't have window locks. Apparently, none of the opposition leaders in Russia have window locks. You're going to get poisoned. So like people stopped running against him. I thought he was just dictator for life at this point. I didn't even know.
I'll take you one further, Kaplan. Yeah. I didn't, before we researched these elections in Russia, the way I heard about the elections in Russia is because that guy got poisoned. Okay. Yes. So the guy gets poisoned and I go, wait, why did he get poisoned? They go, oh, cause he's like leading an opposition party. And I'm like, there's no parties. Yeah. I thought it was like China where it's like, there's the Communist Party. There's no other parties right in China. Yeah. I figured it was similar. I agree. I thought Putin was just the leader and we all were just kind of like, that's the way it goes. You know, tough luck, everybody else.
I mean, they had Boris Yeltsin back in the day after Soviet Union and he was a drunk. And I felt like, you know what? They decided democracy is too risky. Drunks can get in office. So let's just shut that down. Let's go right. Like Putin's strong. And let's just go with it. Like then we have to worry about absentee mail-in voting, all this argument's sake. So,
Then there's another thing, another piece. I don't know if this is a piece of the same story. I guess it kind of is related. We did just read something yesterday that Putin said he will stop meddling in the U.S. election, but he wants us to stop meddling in his elections.
That's some beautiful gaslighting, isn't it? Is that the word?
I don't know what the word is, but I'm like, first of all, you guys have elections. Mind blowing. Does our CIA even know they have elections?
Yeah.
That's the question. They were probably like, wait, we're supposed to meddle in yours too?
Yeah, because they used to. I remember at one point there was another president, and then because Putin then just changed the constitution is how I remember it, and just said no, because there was term limits. They used to have term limits. Got rid of those.
We don't like those.
I thought since then we stopped interfering because why are we bothering at this point? What are we wasting our resources?
Do we really think we're going to get someone else to win?
Trump is right, actually, saving some money to not interfere in elections you can't influence. You only influence the ones that are close. Smart. Yes, look exactly. at that meter. Saving us money.
Saving us money.
Sleepy Joe Biden never would have thought of that.
All right. Oleg, I want to give you a proper introduction as we bring you in. So here we go. Oleg Denisov, he performs all over the place, all over Europe, possibly all over the world. We'll find out in a minute. But he's done the Edinburgh Fringe Festival a number of times. His most recent show was called Russian Troll. Very popular there. He also owns the only multilingual comedy club in Europe, if I got that right. It's called Steal the Show Comedy Club. It's in Moscow. He performs in English. He performs in and also in Russian and possibly Spanish. People at the club perform in Spanish. Come on in, Oleg. Thank you for doing this. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey guys. Hey Welcome. Turner. Hi Kaplan. Yeah, I'm doing well, great considering circumstances. I'm all right. Thanks for having me on the show. About the club, yeah, you're almost correct. Like the first trilingual, right? Is it the correct word?
Trilingual.
Yeah, it's kind of like where every week we have shows in three languages. This is the, as far as I know, the only club in Europe of this sort. Yeah.
That's amazing. And what did we get right and what did we get wrong about all of our knowledge on Russia?
Well, you got kind of some things right, but I think we need to get more detail on those. So basically, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with the meddling in each other's election thing. Let's start there. Yeah. I think that's what everyone's curious about anyway. So let's get that out of the way right at the beginning. Is it in the news in Russia that the US meddles in your election?
Well, the thing is, it's important to kind of understand how like Russian propaganda sees like America and the West in general, and America is supposedly the leader of the West. Yeah, so it's kind of like the biggest and the richest country. So the thing is, it's kind of like this double thing going on all the time. It's kind of on one hand, America is like very powerful enemy and we should all kind of unite against America. And that's why we need Putin, because he's strong and can protect us. And the other thing at the same time, it's kind of like everything America does is like, it's such an easy move. It's like, we don't even care. basically, it's kind of like these two things. Like on one hand, they're kind of strong. On the other, they're kind of ridiculed. Yeah. So, and the same with the elections, it's not so much meddling in the elections, but it's more kind of they admit that America probably doesn't have resources to meddle in the elections. But what they do meddle with, like, is the like street protest thing. So basically every street protest in Russia is organized by Americans.
So your Black Lives Matter events are organized by America?
Yeah, our I read a few articles from like hardcore patriotic websites, like specifically for today, because it's not like I read them on like just for getting material mostly. But right. one of the articles was about Black Lives Matter, and it was like. Because as far as we here are concerned, America is influencing every street protest in every country, like from Hong Kong to Belarus. So that's why, like, you know, that's why your huge national debt problem. I don't know, like, there's just a lot of money spent on that. But it's kind of like now America is using the same like revolution technology on their own country.
And right, like, we're doing it to ourselves. It's gone amok.
Yes. Like, we're kind of like, you've done it to everybody. And like, who else is left? Let's do it in America. Let's try it.
So is that protest in your, we should say for those watching on YouTube, and your background looks like a protest. Did we organize that one as well? The gay rights parade that.
Yeah, that's. I don't think we actually had this physically. I think it's part of some bigger protest, the picture is a part of the bigger protest, and there were like a few, like a section of it, which was like LGBT, and it was before this kind of gay propaganda law that was imposed, like which would now it would be not possible to.
Oh, so now they're not even legal.
Come to a rally. Yeah.
So Putin has asked us to stop meddling in the affairs more than the elections.
Yeah, in
of
the
Russia.
Affairs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he's just like just a rhetorical move he uses, kind of, because like in America there is, as far as I understand, a lot of talking about Russian meddling in the elections. So he just says like, okay, so we stop if you stop. Like, yeah, it's kind of like it's really this rhetoric really works for like a lot of people in Russia, because it's sort of like his like rhetorical moves are kind of like they're kind of street moves. It's like, you're the fool, or like, it's,
yeah,
I stop if you stop.
It's like what, the, yeah, what the guy on the street would do, what you would do if you're arguing in a card game or something, like you cheated at cards or something.
Well, it's like when you want to fight and you don't really want to fight, you want someone to hold you back, kind of thing. Like, you don't like then you're saying, then if they influence it and it doesn't go their way, they could say, oh, we agreed to stop ahead of time. Like, you're hedging.
You're like, you throw the first punch and I'll come at you. First punch.
So it's. But
And what do people think of what's the, and then I want to get into the Russian stuff, but this is the, on the front of everyone's mind listening. What do Russian people think of Trump specifically?
It's you know, like in the, yeah. Okay. Continue the question. If you,
no, I mean, if it's split, I'm not saying everyone thinks the same thing. I'm saying,
but
in detail.
Well, I mean, the official position is that he's viewed like, he's viewed as a good, like a good president for Russia, of course, like it's a good, but there is not much actual talk about him being like Putin's, like a puppet figure. Like, I know like, some people do, some people, no. Like, it's kind of, the thing is, over the last like 15 years, the discourse about America kind of went past this, like, who is the better president or worse president. Now, like, the position is that, well, whoever the president is, the general establishment acts like the geopolitical actions of the establishment is not is influenced by the president only in very minor ways. So basically the policy towards Russia is always Russia is an enemy. Regardless of who is the president, like, it's a little bit better, a little bit worse, but in general, it's all the same. But Trump in general is viewed sympathetically. Yeah.
Because if he's his puppet and then we do something that's bad to Russia, then it would be like, well, what?
Yeah,
kind of
it's kind of
Putin look weak. It would make Putin look weak. Yeah, I see that.
So the position is that kind of they're kind of good, like sort of like friend figures, like they understand each other. And Trump is generally like a trustworthy guy to us, but the establishment is much bigger than him, and they are actually viewing Trump as the American anti-establishment figure. I would like
draining the swamp.
He's fighting the deep state.
Deep state, yeah. Yes.
Deep state. Yeah. It was actually very funny because I was doing my first Edinburgh show in 2017, and Trump like had only recently been elected by then. And there were like some material about that. And in Russia, at this point, like this really was viewed as a huge victory. For some reason, a lot of like political forces in Russia, like pro-government forces, they thought like now America is gonna like be much friendlier and like we have much more collaboration. For example, I use this in my show, the Communist Party of Russia, which exists apparently. it still exists, but it's not really communist like anymore. It's kind of pro-Putin, like one of the pro-Putin, kind of left pro-Putin party, and there is a right pro-Putin party. So basically they're a left pro-Putin party, and when Trump was elected, they issued like a statement saying Donald Trump's victory celebrates the defeat of the global financial and speculative capital. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what that's exactly
this
what
billionaire
he's not.
Being elected.
Yeah, like we all know this, you know, like, yeah, like Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, Vladimir Lenin and Donald Trump, like the great communist leaders.
They love Trump. Marx would have loved Trump if he knew him.
And then what's the view of Biden and Obama before him? I mean, is it just, again, it's just going to perpetuate? If Biden wins, is that seen as something really bad or not seen at all?
Yeah, as I said, like in general, kind of they're more sympathetic toward Trump and like more sympathetic towards Republicans. But in general, nothing really changes. Like this is like the view that is perpetuated now.
That's a reversal. I mean, it used to always be going back to this, you know, the Cold War days that the Democrats would be considered more sympathetic to Russia, you know, and even, you know, going back to like Obama had a reset with Putin that I guess,
Medvedev.
You know, like,
I think it was like mostly Medvedev who he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
If you remember, like this guy who was in office like for 4 years.
Oh, yes. Right. The guy.
Yeah. And like during this time, this period is actually like, a lot of people of my generation like view as a sort of thaw sort of period. Yeah, like when Medvedev met like Obama, they had like burgers together, and in general, in Russia, a lot of laws were kind of liberalized during this period. But then, like when Putin came back in 2012, like it all started to kind of a lot of laws, which a lot of legislation was like literally reversed. Like Medvedev, like 2 years ago, said, "Okay, this is a great thing. That's a very correct thing to do." Like, okay, 100% of like the ruling party voted for it, and then Putin says, "Well, it actually didn't really work."
Can you walk us through quickly how the steps Putin has taken along the way? He became the leader or president in 99. Is that correct?
Taking like the position, because he was a prime minister, and then he was acting president because Yeltsin said like, I'm too drunk to do it. And like, I can't.
I got that right.
So he did it in 99. And then can you quickly just take us through the steps he's taken from 99 until now to stay in power?
Well, yeah, basically, he's already like a, not a man, but like an, like the whole era, right? So now, I think it's useful to talk like early Putin, like middle Putin, and like late.
He's reinvented himself, his game.
Three Putins.
He's added to his game as a dictator. Yeah.
Like three for now. Yeah. And kind of Putin, which is Medvedev.
Right. Putin kind puppet. Of Putin. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, like the first period when he just became president, he used a lot of in the cabinet of ministers, there were a lot of people who were kind of liberals, like economically, first of all, and like in the first 4 years, they've done a lot of good work in terms of stabilizing the economy. And of course, like the high oil prices, but also they kind of modernized a lot of things like tax legislation and a lot of useful like economic reforms. Later, towards like 2007, there was this famous Munich speech of Putin, when basically he said, like, it was his first like aggressive rhetoric towards the West. Yeah. So before that, he was kind of, oh, let's kind of, he even like at some point, I think it was considered Russia joining NATO and stuff. So he was like liberal firstly, like in terms of relations with the West. Then didn't work out, and like he's done a lot to do it, of course, himself, because like he, like on a deep level, he really doesn't believe democracy exists. Like he really doesn't believe. That's kind of like a part of his like KGB mindset. Like he this comes from many sources. He just doesn't, like he honestly believes like this, like the protests in Belarus are like orchestrated in by like American like agents, like in the coming from the embassy and paying people money.
We're so amazing.
Yeah, so yeah you're doing really well. I mean, like, just one more, can you like up the financing like 15% so they finally get rid of Lukashenko? Like
we're working on it.
So
we did a podcast, yeah, and then, that. We didn't get into that, but we'll, yeah.
Ask for more money on Patreon.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, that was the first period. Then, like, when Medvedev became the president, like, it was not even clear that Putin, like, at first it wasn't clear that Putin would come back. At the time, he looked like he would actually, like, if the system would work, he might, he looked like he could have not come back, actually.
And that was 2008?
2008 to 2012. But then after the liberalization, there was this 2018, there was an election which was rigged the parliament election. It was rigged, and basically everybody knew it was rigged, and like all the parties from the parliament who were already kind of pro Putin, pro government, they started kind of to become independent, like the Communist Party, and like there were a couple of other kind of in general pro Putin parties, and they said, no, we don't agree with it. Let's go to a rally. Let's go to the street. So basically, the system kind of just started like liberalizing itself and like being more democratic as soon as he kind of loosened the grip. Yeah. So, and there were huge protests, over 100,000 people in Moscow. And I remember this really well.
What year was that in?
2011. And I remember it was very interesting because the first protest was actually like smaller. It was on the night of the election, everybody realized it was rigged. And because for like over a decade, they hadn't been protests because the economy was growing. Everything was kind of
right. The oil prices were great that decade.
Yeah. And like there was the first rally, and I took part in it. And I was coming from like another city, not even from Moscow, like specifically to take part. And it was amazing. It was like nobody really knew what to do. The protesters didn't know how to protest, and the police didn't know what to do as well. It's just like a lot of policemen just saying hey, chief, what do we do? It's sort of the people can they're climbing over fences. Do we do what exactly?
Like you had, did you even know you were allowed? Did you assume you were going to be arrested when you got there, or you assumed you'd be allowed to protest?
At this point, it was completely different time. No, even though a few people I think were arrested, but they kind of released really soon. It was like the first protest where Navalny started gaining popularity since then. The guy who was poisoned, he kind of led this protest. In 2018. So 2011. Yeah. So basically, yeah, basically after this, and there were like a series of protests. Putin, he kind of decided to, this is ridiculous. I have this, I have a window here and somebody is just taking the carpet because we all have carpets in our rooms and kind of just, I can see it from my window. They kind of just holding it down and kind of de-dusting it.
They're dusting off their carpet into your window?
Well, if it was open, then they would have been
they would have been doused in dust just over
yeah.
you.
Yeah. That's just a tradition, yeah.
That's a Russian custom, yeah.
Life in Moscow.
Because they hear that I'm speaking English, so they want to they want to show their disrespect. So
there's a bug on that
yeah, be careful.
On the rug.
It's not poison.
Then Medvedev announced that Putin is coming back.
I'm back.
At this point.
It's faxed in.
He didn't do it. He didn't do it himself. It was a show. Like Medvedev comes out before like the ruling party, like all the members of the ruling party. He said we were thinking and we all agree that it's actually the best decision.
He's got a gun to his head.
Yeah. Reading a letter.
I'm pretty sure he wanted to stay for at least four more years himself. He's like,
yeah.
Like, why
did he get more beers with Obama? He was having fun. Burgers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then Putin is like, oh, I did not expect that.
What an actor.
He's blushing. He goes, who, me? Yeah.
If my country calls, I guess I'll answer the phone.
Yeah.
You want me back? Was there an election for Putin to come back? Or?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, we have elections. We had them every 4 years then. And then, but that was actually done during Medvedev's rule because so that Putin wouldn't do it himself. He made the terms longer for parliament and for president. So parliament.
He had to change. He wasn't allowed to be the president again? They changed it. Is that what it was? Or
no, that was this year. But I'm talking about Medvedev, almost 10 years ago.
So what
and
was it?
So it was he. It used to be 4 years parliament, 4 years president before Medvedev. Then Medvedev, obviously, kind of it. So it wasn't really his initiative, but it's kind of Putin. So Putin wouldn't prolong his own terms. It kind of Medvedev yeah. prolonged it for him. Yeah, that's so it kind of, he made it 5 years parliament and 6 years president. So after Medvedev, Putin came back for, he was allowed to come back for 2 terms, 6 years each.
2 terms, 6 years each. So that's 12 good years.
Right. So Medvedev is very selfless because he extended the term limit for the president and then didn't run for president. That's a real team player.
Yeah, it's the more most altruistic person I know.
Yeah, nobody who would do that.
Love of country. Love of country.
Love of country. There it is.
Yeah. So then Putin came in and now he's got 12 years before he even has to think about what to do next.
Changing the rules.
Well, he started thinking this year, basically. Yeah. Because he was elected for 6 years. Yeah, let me check. In 2012. Yeah. So the next election was 2018, and the next is gonna be in 4 years, 2024. Sure. But like by the old constitution, it would definitely be the last. It would have to be the last. So what he did is like, and it was especially like the situation was super weird when he proposed this referendum. It's a procedure which basically contradicts every possible law in the country, like election law. Like it's not even possible to do, because basically to change the constitution, to change one thing in the constitution, you have to have a referendum with the this specific thing, yeah, kind of, or maybe like, I know, three things or something. It's kind of yes or no, it's a referendum. But to change, like he proposed like 80 different, like little minor things for like changes in the constitution. And each of them was supposed to be like, was designed for a specific group of people. For example, we would kind of raise pensions for like all for pensioners for like on this little bit, we will protect like, and they're like meaningless things. Like we will protect like the Institute of Family. We will protect like the Russian language.
I'm for that. Like family.
Yeah. Family. And like, it was actually implied. I guess it was like in the constitution now we had like the families, between a man and a woman.
Oh, I see. That's how they trick you. Wow. And you just turned me into an anti-LGBT.
Voter. Horrible person.
Yes.
So that was in to the bring middle out voters, of this, basically. In the middle of this, he snuck in this idea. Like, yeah, you believe in family? Are you against racism? And also, can I be president for life?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, and in the end, like a small font. Yeah, like it's. And also, we kind of prolonged.
Was it that move where, like, you know, when you do when you're filling out, like, you're at the doctor's office and, like, do you have diabetes? Yes, do you have tuberculosis? And you, instead of Xing, you just draw a line all the way down. Is that what he was hoping, that everyone would just go yes, 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 all the way down?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nobody reads those things. iTunes.
Yeah, but he didn't actually say president for life. He just said like, because we're changing the constitution, everything like starts from zero. It starts from scratch. So he has another 2 terms.
He's another 2 terms now.
12 more years. Yeah.
Oh, he really hoodwinked everybody.
Yeah.
And there's no like Supreme Court to appeal this to or something, right?
The funniest thing is because the whole procedure is illegal anyway. Like it was mostly kind of it is really illegal, and there was no like proper procedures. There was no proper, like it doesn't fall under the election law at all, because like there is no name for this procedure. So basically, to change the constitutions, it needed like a certain percentage of regional parliaments approving it. And since regional parliaments are like the ruling party, and like in Moscow and St. Petersburg, of course, like some of the opposition, like there's more opposition in the parliament, but everywhere else, it's really easy just to by force to maintain the regional parliaments and the ruling party. So they voted and they accepted this already. Like by the time people started voting in the middle of coronavirus crisis, it was already done.
Whoa. Okay. So it was, this is really recently. I mean, during coronavirus.
That was this, I think like they postponed this thing for like a couple of times. I think it was supposed to be March or April. And in the end they voted.
Coronavirus, yeah.
I think it was early August or late July or something like this, like really recently.
And it passed.
Yeah. Or maybe July, I think. Yeah. And it passed. Yeah. And it passed.
And so is that why, skipping ahead to this guy getting poisoned, the poison guy,
The latest guy to get poisoned. Yeah.
Navalny, right?
The latest guy who got poisoned. Yeah. Yeah. Navalny. Because like it really like for the few months because there was not much happening in the political life and in the like social life. It was just like two topics. It's like coronavirus, Putin.
It's boring. Yeah, let's do something else. Spice it up.
Yeah, just two horrible topics. Like one of them is a disease, which is very dangerous, and the other is coronavirus. It's kind of sorry, I'm just sneaking in some
great bit. From what I've read, it seems like Navalny was someone that Putin for the last 10 years could use to say, oh, look, this is everyone else does have a chance because he's my opposition. So
yeah,
you could vote for him. You could vote for me. It's up to you. This is a free country. You can vote for whoever you want.
He hasn't fallen out of a window yet. He's alive. See,
so he was almost beneficial. He did get imprisoned at one point, right? In the middle of this, a few years back.
I mean, he did a few times, I think at least but for short terms usually, but wearing the wrong color hat.
Or something.
Usually for organizing the rallies and stuff like this sort of thing. But also when it was clear that he could become not like contend for president, but at least he was a contender for the mayor of Moscow, and he got almost 30%, and even though it was like. They were also rigged because on some voting points there were special electronic voting urns, yeah?
Yes.
And like in a these
voting machine.
That voting machine. And the other is just like a usual you drop it in. So basically if you counted only electronic, which was harder, and at this point the government wasn't so experienced in rigging elections, so if you count only electronic, then it would have been like second round, like between him and the acting mayor.
I see. They have to go to a second round of voting.
The paper ballots.
But because they balanced it with rigging with manual urns, they
the paper ballot. Yeah.
The mayor got like 51% or something. So basically, there was no second
round. Okay, he lost 51
to 30. The mayor is a Putin guy.
But basically, at this point, it was 2013. At this point, they realized that Navalny can become an actual contender for something. Well, if he almost got and got into the second round, technically didn't, but really he did, of mayor of Moscow. Then he could be a real, really dangerous. And so what they did is they prosecuted him for as usual thing, money laundering, fraud, thing sort of as in all the dictatorship, you know, this court.
Classic move.
Classic move.
Who hasn't laundered money? I mean, we all do it. So it's like jaywalking. You can arrest anybody for it if you want.
Do you know I'm recording this as well?
What? We're going to come to Russia sometime on a podcast tour, and just Kaplan will be arrested when he steps off the plane. It'll be great.
Yeah.
What's the confidence in elections among just the average person?
In general, what do you mean by confidence in the election?
Like, do people say, oh, if I go vote, my vote's going to be counted. It's going to make a difference. So I should vote.
No, this is actually the thing which all the kind of post-Soviet autocracies play against. This is their goal is not to make more people vote for them. Their goal is to make less people vote.
Right, to have less confidence.
So we have a similar. There's a similar party to that in America, actually.
Yeah.
Not naming names, but
yeah. So basically, it becomes easier to kind of, because all the people working for the government, there's a lot of them, soldiers, teachers, all the officials. They vote that's mandatory for them to they're forced by their bosses to vote, and they get problems if they don't. So it's kind of they must come to the election, put a tick where they're supposed to do it, and make a picture and send it to their superiors.
So they can see who they voted for, the superiors?
Yeah.
So then they know I have to vote for, smarter.
So
to
basically,
vote for one party.
Basically, the less people vote, the easier it is to rig it. And in general, this sense of like inevitability, it kind of it plays for the government. It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of shit, but when has it been different? You know, like, because like the economy is hasn't grown in like, I think, 11 years in Russia. And in general, yeah, it's getting
right until with oil down. It's just, has that just affected the Russian economy? And
yeah, oil sanctions, just expansion of the government sector of the economy, which is huge.
The oligarch sector. Is it the
Oligarch is like, well, technically they're private businesses, but right. kind of they're affiliated. So in general, like a lot of measures which are designed to keep the strong centralized power, they also unsurprisingly ruin the economy. Like this right, is pretty right. straightforward.
So getting to these specific elections that were two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? They were local elections.
Now, Navalny's...
They were local elections, yeah.
Local elections, but seemingly important, correct? Or no?
Well, they were important because, like, basically what Navalny is doing, what they kind of, the scheme, like, they came up with, because he still isn't allowed to register his own party. It's kind of like, he basically has a party. He has a union of people, and he has, like local offices in many different regions, but... like they just like refuse under different like technicalities, like technical errors. They have been denying the registration for like the past several years. This is probably the only thing similar between Kanye West and Navalny. But yeah.
We'll cut that part out. Don't worry. Keep
so
going.
He came up with this scheme because like one of his sort of ideas is that although we all understand that, for example, parties which are already in the parliament, such as Communist Party and like we like have a couple of other parties which all support Putin, even though he realizes that they're all kind of like their central officials, like the leaders of these parties, are kind of affiliated. They get money from Putin and everything. But if we in general give the local candidates from these parties, if they give them a chance to run, they will possibly act in the interests of the local people.
Sure.
So basically what he invented, like he kind of not invented, but he applied this scheme, is called like a smart voting. Because basically you subscribe to like an email, to like email, what's it called? Like email.
Email list. And you
get, like a listserv.
Yeah, like a mailing list. Yeah, subscribe to the mailing list. And it gives like, they evaluate the strongest candidate, not from the ruling party. And it can be from a party like communists, like, or some local party, which completely contradicts everything Navalny is for, but it's the strongest contender on this particular in this particular sector against the ruling party candidate. So the point is that the votes don't disperse between all the opposition candidates. But if you follow this mailing list, you vote for the candidate which is has the biggest chance to challenge the ruling party candidate.
Whoa.
That's smart.
The whole point is not for we want this, we want that, we want that. It's literally just we want the ruling party out.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
The United Russia is the name of the ruling party, right?
Yeah, you want United Russia. Yeah.
We want United Russia out. If it's a flat earther, we'll vote for him as long as he gets you.
If he's the strongest candidate, yeah.
Pretty much.
Do you guys have QAnon over there? If he's QAnon, we'll get Q in. We'll get this guy out.
What's that?
You don't have Q? Mr. Q, what are you doing? No, it's our cult.
I thought you guys created it, first of all.
Oh, maybe we did, but we forgot already. So it's
no, a Russian bot created it, not a Russian person. So we
don't like. It's a conspiracy theory in America that was started, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, that all of our political leaders, except Trump, all of our political leaders, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bush family, and Hollywood actors, Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, they run an international pedophile ring, and they're also eating babies.
Are they?
And
you've done more. Yeah. Eating.
According to QAnon. And then this has now become a legitimate political. They're winning elections, local elections in America on this platform.
Local. They do the same thing. They go local. Yeah.
And then Trump is the reason why Trump's in office, according to them, is because he is secretly fighting. He's a superhero fighting against all Tom Hanks and the Clintons. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is what they believe. And he's fighting against them, and that day of reckoning is going to come soon, where there'll just be one morning where we wake up and in all the newspapers, except for the failing New York Times, all the other newspapers, they're going to be arrested. All these people are going to be arrested. Just one morning. Mm-hmm. So we're all waiting for that day.
No, and, day. I didn't. Yeah, you've done more. You might be a member like for all I know.
Seems like a strong platform. I think in Russia, we need people romantic enough to run something like this. we're full of cynical people here. Like,
you can get them in. Get them in on the smart voting platform.
Yeah. So basically, smart voting, like in some cases, it happened and it worked in many cases. It worked in the previous election. It worked in this election. So basically, Navalny is making it kind of stronger and stronger, aiming at the parliamentary election. So this is his activity, which is seems the most probably disruptive at the moment.
So if they're going to steal, if it's already kind of like an open secret that Putin's party, is it Russia United? United Russia.
By all the polls, even though like there are very few independent like polling agencies in Russia, almost none, but even by very conservative, like government funded polls, like United Russia is like universe, like it has an approval rating of like 25 or something like.
Oh wow!
Like,
really. Okay.
Like Putin has more. Like, but that's why he's been distancing from it, like politically. Mm-hmm. Usually, like everything bad goes to
it's the party's fault.
Yeah, it's the party's fault.
Blame the party. Good move.
But if something good happens, like Putin comes out, it's like it's me. It's like I made the
Trump
vaccine.
Has definitely learned that from
learned from the best. So why don't if he's gonna steal if it's kind of an open secret that Putin steals elections and all this kind of stuff, why would he let them win anything? Why wouldn't he just rig those elections too? The ones that that Navalny's people are starting to win, or at least start voting.
Well, because like it's a human factor. I don't know. Like if it's really hard to rig completely if it's a proper election. Like it's hard to rig completely. Like if I don't know. 80% vote against the ruling candidates. It's hard. There are still some procedures, and you know, especially in local, like provinces, like other regions, sometimes there are people who just don't want to do, don't want to rig elections. You can't just make everybody.
Okay,
you know, in some particular like voting place, like some they just refuse, and there are whole regions who are like considered like protest regions, like Khabarovsk. I don't know, probably you didn't get this, but get any news about that? But we had some protests like recently, and they're still continuing. And Khabarovsk is like near Vladivostok, is like the very far east of Russia, like near China. There was a guy who, I mean, he is alive. Hopefully now, but he became the governor, and he wasn't from the ruling party, and nobody expected him to become a governor. He was from one of the other big parties, which also support Putin, but they have different policies. So he won the election there, became the governor. Local parliament also was won by the other party, so he was the governor. It was very annoying for the people. And during the referendum, like this referendum for Putin's like a constitutional referendum, in this region, they didn't rig the voting. So it had like the lowest percentage of Putin, like for this constitutional reform, one of the lowest percentages in the whole country. And so like 2 weeks after that, he just got like FSB came from Moscow, arrested him, under again, like some kind of like, oh, he like some guy heard that he ordered to kill somebody 20 years ago, just literally. Oh, like
the, wait, the governor kind of, he was the governor of the region and he was arrested?
Yeah. And now he's in a under closed trial in Moscow. And in Khabarovsk, a lot of people are protesting this. Literally, like, this region has never seen such massive protests. But, like, what it, at the very least that they're demanding is for him to get a trial there in Khabarovsk, which would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
Because right. Now it not just looks like kind of they just arrested him, got to Moscow, closed trial, nothing, just whatever comes out. Like it's nobody can, you know, like nobody can be held accountable for this.
So these people who win local elections, who just won 2 weeks ago, are they now, are they going to get arrested soon?
Or did they win? Did a lot of them win? Is that?
Oh, we should say a number of them won, right?
Yeah.
So are they worried that they'll get arrested because they won against the United Russia Party?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Oh, are the people who won a few weeks ago?
Yeah. You know,
are they now concerned that they might be in danger, arrested because they won?
Possibly, but still because of the new, like again, they changed before this election, they changed the procedure for the election so that the voting lasted not one day, which would always kind of, it lasted for 3 days, like during the night, but obviously nothing like was under control, because usually like even like at the most you know, most one-sided elections, we still had the procedure. We had this one day, we had people who would watch over the election from like different organizations, different parties, and at the end of the day they would watch, and there were a lot of scandals. Sometimes there were a lot of cases, they noticed the rigging, and that's it. Now for 3 days, United Russia got like huge percentages everywhere, obviously, despite their real rating. So even though some people went through, usually in like bigger cities, like regional centers, it's good that now in the local parliaments, for example, there is a small minority, but still real opposition.
Yes.
Are they in danger? They will definitely have problems in their lives. Like, I don't know how big problems, that depends on how...
Hopefully they didn't threaten to kill anybody when they were young.
Yeah, so, I mean, they definitely will work under great pressure.
And the 3 days is so that between day one and day two, they can go home at night and say, oh, let's count this ballot. Let's not count that ballot. Count that ballot, not that. And then
the ballot thing, like, where do you put the ballot? What's it called?
The ballot box? We literally call it a ballot box. Yeah.
Okay, great. So a ballot box. if it's one day, it's literally like the, if you, like people watching over it the whole day. Yeah. If if it's 3 days during the night, nobody's watching it. So what happens during these times?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Okay. And what is, so for Navalny, he's currently, for those who don't know, he's recovering. In Germany. He got out of the coma. He was in a coma for like a month, right? He's now come out of the coma. He didn't die of the poisoning. He's still alive. I don't know I know he posted on Instagram maybe yesterday or a few days ago saying, hey, I'm alive. And then he was also like joking. He said like, hey, I'm alive. I was breathing by myself all day today. You guys should try it sometime. It feels great.
Yeah. I mean, that's his kind of style. Like, yeah, it's really, it really appeals to, you
know, yeah. What does he do now?
Is he going to come back to Russia, or what's the move?
Well, he announced, I think like some of his team, somebody from his team announced, I think that he's definitely coming back to continue his work.
I mean, is that insane?
I mean, it is kind of. Yes, it is.
What did he get poisoned? Was it drinking tea? What was it?
Well, it was. Well, now it's really hard to say, but now it looks like it's the bottle of water which was in his room. So when
that's a tough. I was gonna say if you do the coronavirus protocols, you make all your own meals, you never order out, you never leave the house. But if your own bottles of water are poisoned.
Yeah.
It's really hard to.
That's why when you open the top, you know, you got to see if the seal's broken or not.
Yes. Yeah, maybe
it's a soda stream,
but maybe just a little bit of the. Yeah. Because the thing is that now what he's demanded after, if I know if you know this, but he also posted about this and like his team posted about this, what he's demanding now is the security video from the hotel, which obviously disappeared.
Then
his clothes, which obviously disappeared.
Yeah.
And something else. But basically, it's all related to the time when he was in the hotel. In the hotel and after, because in the hospital, they took off his clothes and it's supposed to be evidence.
Yeah.
But it's disappeared. And security cameras from the hotel as well.
Chambermaids.
What? Sorry?
I guess you got to tip your chamber, the housekeepers in your hotel room. You got to, you know.
So even the hospital was in on it then. If they took him to the hospital.
It's hard to say because basically what happened is also he wrote in the recent post that thanking people that it was like a chain of random events which it appears to that it saved his life, right? For example, that the pilots, because what happened, yeah, when he started feeling sick on the plane, yeah, the pilots, they kind of quickly diverted the plane, found the nearest airport, Omsk, and when they were, they announced to the airport that we have a man feeling sick, so we're landing, have no emergency landing, somebody rang the airport and said that there is a bomb, so the airport could also... there was this problem. So maybe it was designed so that, they say to the pilots, there is a bomb. So the pilots take the plane somewhere else and that time would
like
kill
the Russian, right.
Probably. Yeah. So, but they did everything quickly. And the medics, the paramedics, which came to the emergency medical service, they came also very quickly. And they recognized that it was a poisoning, so they injected him with a big dose of what's called atropine. It's a thing which is quite common for poisonings, and it like every hospital has it. And later
in Russia,
yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah.
do you think in America there's like a common antidote for poisoning just at all of our?
Oh, no, yeah, it is. There is.
Wait,
it is.
Oh, there is.
Okay. All over the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you could
It's a common thing, but basically, it needs to be recognized as a specific kind of poisoning for the medics to use. And they kind of looked at the symptoms. Okay, it's a fucking poisoning.
Got it.
Let's do this. And then later, they like the officials, like the chief doctor of the hospital. Of course, they denied everything. They denied everything. But again, the actual results, they denied it was poisoning. Yeah, they said metabolism problems.
Happens to the best of us. I have that.
Kaplan has anybody.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, they denied it was poisoning, and then, but the actual results of the
doctor in Germany, though.
The actual results of his the actual samples never shown to the public as well. The third thing that he's demanding now, like the actual results. Because they just made statements, but they didn't show anything. Yeah. So, but later, it appears that a lot of people there, they're kind of discoordinated, even the people who are kind of in on this. Yeah. So, for example, when doctors in Germany said, okay, this is poisoning, so we're using atropine, this antidote, to treat him. And some doctor from the hospital in Omsk said, oh, we actually use the atropine as well. And everybody's like, why would you use atropine if it wasn't a poisoning?
Exactly. Wow. So why would Putin, if for 10 years it was beneficial for him to be, for Putin to have
right.
him as a rival?
I why do you think it's beneficial? I don't think so.
Oh, it was not, it was, you don't
no,
think
it
was
I mean,
ever,
it's
oh,
beneficial. It no, no, not, it's actually a funny thing that Putin and his main like spokesperson, like press secretary guy who kind of translates his ideas to kind of like gives out his actual like thoughts, the official position of the Kremlin. They don't call, they've never called Navalny by his actual name. Like they never said Navalny, like the word Navalny, they never say it. And kind of say, this, there are some bloggers who do this.
There are some,
oh, there's this guy who was actually, he actually broke the aggregator. Law, right? Yeah. And so Navalny on his profile in like social media, it says, like Navalny politician, like founder of like this, and also like all these epithets that Putin used, like Putin and like other officials used to call him. It's kind of like some people, like that right, patient, like this. And they say like now they call him like Berlin patient.
Berlin patient. there's patients in Berlin and we don't like the way they're acting.
So why would he ramp it up now to want to kill him? I mean, like, first of all, I don't think Navalny is beneficial to Putin, because what's beneficial for him is like this illusion of the opposition. Basically, the guys running running for presidents is the guys who contended Yeltsin. Like, it's they're super old and like useless
generation. Yes.
Yeah. So basically, like, they have illusion of like several parties, like several political forces. But like this is the level of opposition that he is okay with. Yeah. And sometimes on the last election, he uses like democratic spoilers. For example, he used the daughter of Sobchak, who is like a Russian Paris Hilton, basically. And he was the daughter. He is the daughter. She's the daughter of a former boss of Putin, who was the mayor of St. Petersburg in the 90s.
And she ran against him.
So, yeah. But like, as sort of like a spoiler for the opposition, like it's like she's like, "Oh, I'm for democracy." And like,
oh, Jesus, Paris Hilton could win here or could have won here years ago. But yeah,
I mean, now I wouldn't be surprised.
Not anymore. She's not in. But so then, so you're saying that it just reached a point where he got too annoying and he had to like he never liked him, and then did he just?
I don't know I can't like, why now? That is something I completely don't want to speculate on. Like, it really looks like they did it, but why now? I don't know.
Do you think the Belarus is connected at all? Like, just trying to show, like, we're not going to have any of that, or is it that's too? Yeah, no, we have no.
Have you heard this? Have you heard this thing in Belarus? Because like Lukashenko is now, he seems to have gone completely crazy, of course. But he's he's literally demented. But he had this thing like when he was meeting with the Russian Prime Minister, he said we intercepted a talk between two American agents. One was in like Lithuania and the other in Poland or something like this. What they're talking about is that Navalny was poisoned to divert Putin's attention from Belarus. And they were like, literally, there's this like audio, and there are like two people with like talking with American accents, like literally, like the most like the most crudely made thing ever is kind of like, yeah, hey Mike, hey Nick, oh yeah, so what about Navalny? Everything is great.
Yeah, we got
everything.
Him.
Everything goes according to plan. Yeah, so Putin now Putin will not. Pay attention to Belarus because Lukashenko is actually a tough guy. Yeah, we didn't expect him.
That was some out of work comedians in New York City, by the way. They needed a job. Hey man, like, 50 bucks.
And by the way, Lukashenko has a huge dick.
Just so you know, if you're here.
Yeah, like literally people? Like this. I think Putin is like Putin as far as like several sources say, like Putin really hates Lukashenko. He doesn't like him, but he kind of understands that now. Like, of course, Putin would have another person probably as president of Belarus than Lukashenko, but.
He's the guy he's got to deal with now.
But he's supporting him because he can't have a neighboring country power changed by force or by like right. not like right.
he's
got
to
so,
show. Yeah, he's yeah. got to show like it's like the this guy for now will do because he's got he can't allow them to change.
And yeah, people, yeah, yeah. Because that sets a precedent. Like if that sets a precedent,
yeah, if, exactly. the, if it can if, happen there, the
government changes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Not by election.
Do people
that's what happened in Ukraine. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think the people, when people in Russia and like, do they, when they see these ridiculous things, like you're talking about these staged tapes, do people believe any, are there people who believe this stuff or like in general, or like
it's real? Do you mean or? Like the intercepted transmission?
Yeah. Thing? Yeah. Yeah. Is it actual? Like not, it's not a joke to everybody. There are like older people maybe who think it's real. And
I mean, in general, a lot of people, like in Russia, it's even though like, Putin kind of officially supports Lukashenko. In Russia, he's still kind of a figure of ridicule. It's kind of, hey, Lukashenko is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. Like, and in general, like even on Russian television, it's allowed to make fun of Lukashenko even now.
That's, okay. That's the ultimate insult, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're,
yeah.
So what's
yeah.
it
so
like?
In general, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's fine. That's what I wanted to say. That's in general, even though he kind of, he supports him, not because he likes him, but he's, and not because, you know, not even, yeah, not even because it's convenient. It's because he can't have a power changing in Belarus. Not right. by election kind of, because it sets a precedent for.
Yes, exactly.
Like, yeah. That's what happened in Ukraine. And that's kind of like, that's a scary story he's telling us, that like in Belarus, Americans are kind of practicing to get to Russia, like to use the same.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Step one, okay. Belarus. Domino
yeah,
theory.
Yeah, we're
yeah,
both.
Yeah, step one, Ukraine. It's already happened.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's that thing where we're so incompetent and yet we're able to go around the world and do all this.
Yeah,
we can't control coronavirus in our country, but we can.
You can influence, yeah, everything. Hong Kong, Belarus. Yeah.
Oh, like, I know you have to leave in a minute, but I want to ask you what's, because I think people that are going to be listening to this in America who are listening to this right now are going to find it almost like surprising that you talk about so much, so freely.
Yeah, yeah,
talk about this. Good. So, and I know you're, as a comedian, you're a political comedian.
Yeah.
What's it like talking about, like, how far into politics do you get? What can you talk about? What can you not talk about? And what is it like going around Russia talking about this kind of stuff?
In general, now, a lot of people, because, like, the thing is, stand-up comedy is, like, a very new form of entertainment in Russia. It's maybe, like, 10, 12 years old only. So, in general, the audience for stand-up comedy is quite young, and it's mostly, like, big cities. So, political jokes usually go down really well. The only thing is that, of course, not every material, like if you're fine with your material not going on TV, you can, like in a club, you can say like mostly anything. If okay. you transmit it to a wider audience, like it's like a videos on YouTube, even like if you get millions of views, sometimes it can be a problem. Sometimes, like usually if you, for example, about there were precedents of like people talking about the church. Like making like videos like ridiculing the church, and then somebody would sue them for this. But in general, so far there were no like
they're not
actual,
in a,
like
they're not in a Berlin hospital right now, are they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were sued. They were mostly found guilty, but there was some sentence usually. Not actual imprisonment, but sometimes imprisonment, you know, Pussy Riot, of course. Like
I was about to say the Pussy Riot. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about that?
Like, but also it's ridiculous. Cause like how people are prosecuted for like, specific, words or, spreading specific information in Russia. It's kind of, as far as we understand now, it's kind of like a random choice. For example, you can repost on your social media, on Russian social media, like vk.com, like the Russian Facebook thing, you can repost other persons. Like I know it can be like anything. Like really, it can be even like it can be. For example, it can be a picture of like Nazis with like and saying like Nazis are bad, but since it has a swastika, like they can kind of
PC police
you for this. Yeah,
no,
but like it can be anything. If you write like I don't know, like all the government officials are like. Crooks or something like or like we should like I know do something bad to the mayor or something, I don't know,
yeah,
anything like in any context literally, because like sometimes it's kind of we can see why under current legislation it might be illegal. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we don't see it at all. But the thing is, it's kind of like a random pick. It's kind of so everybody, and it, the case is not to get everybody. The goal is not to get everybody, of course. The goal is to make everybody think that it could happen to them.
Could happen.
So you'll self-censor.
Yeah.
Self-censorship is the goal. Yeah.
So you just don't want a viral clip. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but this our clips go millions of viewers we get, right, Turner?
Yeah. I've made my research.
Exactly why you agreed to be so.
Amazing. So you're not worried about what might happen to you?
I mean, I haven't said anything that there is independent media in Russia. It's usually it doesn't go to a very wide audience, but you know, there is enough of them. I haven't said anything. I haven't, you know, I don't have any insight. I just say what like people are thinking.
Great.
Yes. That's allowed to say. Yeah, exactly. What people are thinking.
All right. Well, Oleg, thank you for doing the show, man. I know you're running to another show right now. You're going to go do stand up, real life stand up. It doesn't exist in America right now.
Yeah.
You have it in Moscow.
It's you guys have it inside and everything?
Yeah, everything. Oh,
wow.
Yeah,
look at that.
We have some like Moscow, you have some like a distancing of like tables, like antiseptics stuff, but in general, yeah, we've been working as like indoors for like 2 months, I think already. Like 1 month and a half.
That's great. Wow. Yeah, Steal the Show Comedy Club in Moscow. How do people follow you specifically, you directly?
I'm a private person. I don't do it. So follow the club.
Great.
Steal the Show Comedy, all the social media. Steal the Show
Steal
Comedy.
The show.
Yeah. Or stealtheshow.net, the website. Or I have a page on like Facebook and Instagram as well. But in general, it's more useful to follow the club.
All right. And look out for you at the next. Are you going to go back to Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
Well, I was supposed to go, of course. Like I had already kind of a show approved. And I also had a show approved for like Russian circuit thing. So like another show, like my own show and show for Russian circuit. But it got all just got postponed to next year, like because I already registered and kind of I'll be waiting for next year. I'm definitely coming back if possible, of course.
Right. Next year,
if you ever come to New York City, we're doing a show together.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Kaplan, that's it. Thank you, Oleg, for doing the show. Kaplan.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I was going to say thank you so much. I've been arguing with Russian bots for a year on Twitter. It's nice to talk to a Russian person.
Nice to talk to a real Russian bot now.
Real Russian human being. Yes.
That's it, Cap. What should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.